Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 14th, 2019. The world's in turmoil, but still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Please get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In emergency, the cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, if you're calling from a cell phone that has a, text message, whatever, send me a text first, because I haven't figured out how to get these solicitors or whatever you call them calling on my phone. I may get four phone calls that are phone calls that I just won't accept because they're solicitors. And then you're the fifth one and you don't get accepted. See what I mean? But if you text me first, then I'll know it's you, and then a prayer request, you know. Anyway, moving right along. That's 316-619-4886. Now you can find updates to the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube right now. Go over there and listen if you need to. And on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. And I will change these next week, but this week we were still talking about Bucharest, Romania, Hamilton, Canada, Attilia, Turkey, Espoo, Finland. And, of course, cities in the United States such as Plano, California, or Plano, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Memphis, Tennessee, and Honolulu, Hawaii. These are just to name a few. Of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. And they're the largest group of listeners, and I get the less feedback from Wichita than I do anybody. Figure that one out. Please follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program about a lot of breaking news. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will. Please give everyone out there their ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Lift the veil from them, Father. So in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, breaking news today sounds like, and if he hasn't did it already, we'll sign the bill to keep the government open. But it sounds like also that he's going to declare a national emergency on the border. I'm for this. Of course, there will be challenges in court. We'll talk about this a little later. But what's also news coming out of that is that Pelosi's future attorney general, the flu, but Pelosi says a future Democrat president could or will declare an emergency on gun control and climate change. And I don't think the Supreme Court will side with gun control, but you really never know. To talk with us about this, I'm bringing on Frank Stephan. He's the founder of American Voice Radio. Frank does his own radio program called The Frank Report. Well, Frank's just really frank about everything and does it a couple of times a day during the week. So tune into American Voice Radio, and you will find his program. He's also the producer of this program. yeah, he's a guy behind the scenes that seems not behind us. Well, I'm really getting bad. Anyway, he's the guy behind the scenes that can, that brings us into break, out of break, all those things that keep this program going. Anyway, welcome, Frank.
Hey, Dan.
And, yeah, how are you?
To the listeners out there, I am not the one that put the marbles in Dan's mouth, okay? That was not me. I'm not taking the blame for that one.
Yeah. Well, I said you were responsible for the sin. I feel like I need to be here and do this program because it really is important with some breaking news. My brain is just not up to par. That flu really took it out of me.
Hey, I know about that flu, man. You know, those of you out there, regular listeners, you know that, you know, right prior to this show, right in between Dan, is supposed to be Wendy and was Wendy, but it was a replay of Wendy because Wendy is also sick. I was sick. I took a whole week off of doing my own shows. I produced all the shows, which was all I could do, really.
Right.
Than to do that, but I couldn't do my show for a whole week. You know, yeah, it's a horrible thing, and I don't know if yours is exactly the same, but from what Wendy described, it's exactly the same. Starts in the sinuses and, you know, heads on down into your lungs, and it gets worse from there. Actually, it doesn't get worse. The worst part is, for me anyway, was the sinuses, by a close second, the lungs, and then it went into my stomach, and that wasn't fun, but, I mean, it was better than before.
Yeah, it sounds close. You know, there's a little bit of variables, and like I was explaining to my son that, you know, it affects people mostly in their weakest place, usually, you know what I mean? And so each person can be affected a little differently. With me in particular, I had a really, you know, a mild fever, which broke last night. I woke up, you know, just soaked in sweat, which was a good thing, but it had hit me with the achy breakies, meaning that every joint in my body hurt.
Yep.
And that was the toughest part. It was like, you know, all night long for 2 days. But I think it was the prayers and the colloidal silver that knocked it out. But, you know, my brain, as you can tell, still isn't functioning up to par with it by a long shot.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I didn't think you would, because you're not on to anything. You
seems
know.
The same to me, is what I'm saying. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Anyway, looks like there's a lot of breaking stuff today. You know, actually, I was going to cancel this program. I was going to be on with Pastor Carl, which will be on in 2 weeks. But I canceled him because I really wasn't even planning on doing a program. But I figured Frank could help carry us through this because there's some important breaking news. Which part of it you want to start at?
Oh, man, there's so much. Let's do something easy, though.
Okay.
That you didn't mention, but I've been following from the very beginning because the second it came out, I said, come on, this isn't real.
That, okay.
That black homo actor that says that, he got attacked on the streets of Chicago at 2 a.m. when it was 20 below zero by two guys who poured bleach on him and put a rope around his neck and yelled, this is MAGA country. Yeah, sure. See, I read that and I thought, come on, man. You know what? Here's the thing. I lived in Chicago through a winter. Well, North Chicago, to be precise. And to be even more precise, I was in the Naval Training Center there. And we went, and I think this was either, it was the 81, it was either the 81 or 82. Because, you know, December, it changes there. So it was 81 or, well, it was this winter of 81, 82, right? And, hey, we lost four guys that winter at the Naval Training Center from falling out and dying, freezing to death. It was so cold, okay? It was like they said with the wind chill. Now, this is not the actual temperature, but with the wind chill, they said it was 80 below zero. And I believe it because I was wearing every piece of clothing I had, and I had a lot of – man, a Navy pea coat is a big wool thick, you know, winter jacket, right?
Right. I used to have one I bought in a secondhand store when I was real young, And that was the warmest coat, man, and it was neat, a pea coat, man. I haven't heard that mentioned in years.
Oh, man, and then sweaters and thermal underwear, the whole nine yards, man. I had it all on, and that wind was cutting through all of it. I mean, just cutting through like I was naked out there. It was bad. It was really, really bad. We, like I say, four guys died. So I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I want to do. Hey, Dan, you know, it's 2 a.m., man. Hey, grab your bottle of bleach, would you? And you got any rope around here? Let's go find somebody to, you know, mug on the street because it's only 20 below zero, Dan. Come on, let's go. You know, yeah, sure. Who's going to, you know, really, what? You know, hey, but now here's the thing. Sources, police investigating whether Jesse Smollett staged attack with help of others.
Right. I saw that. It's on the front page of Greg's right now. I just read it before the program.
Hey, I just saw it now because I've been following this the whole time. And this has been so obviously a fraud. And now they're finally, boy, they really didn't want to admit it. You know, they really, really did not want to admit it.
I'm going to butt in. Right. Let me say this about it. And I, you know, I'm with you. I believe it was staged from the first, but unlike, you know, the leftist one, that group of wonderful people. You know, I don't say things until I have some facts. You know what I'm saying? Because I was brought up to believe that's inherently wrong. Okay, but the point is, this is just like them. They have voiced the opinion that they will do anything they can do to win, anything to degrade this president. And with the help of the media, which is 95% against Trump or anything right, so to speak, then this is so just like it. Mm-hmm. And many of us, just like me and you, I bet out there said the same thing all along. Well, hey, man, this is a fake thing. But look at the extent of what they're about to do. And this is something I really need to point out to the people. Here it is, folks. I believe the American people failed. That's why we have these people back in charge of the House. That shouldn't have happened. But listen to me. If you allow them to take over in the next election, just like Pelosi just said, okay, well, great. You're going to declare, and we'll get into that next. You're going to declare a border emergency. Well, we're going to just use the same thing and do it on gun control and climate change. And so if we allow these people to win, it's going to be total anarchy and civil war. Back to you, Frank.
Well, I agree with that. And you know, it's a sad thing, and I'm not so sure it can be avoided, to tell you the truth, because I look back at history. I've always liked history, and it's, right. You know, it's because, and really, this is sad. I mean, it's nice for me, but it's sad for the majority of other people. I had several really good and interesting history teachers, you know, that made history interesting. And they didn't have to make up facts or tell me things about obscure people. Hey, there was this woman one time in the 1701 that said this crap. You know, they didn't have to pull any of that. They just told it straight, but they told, you know, because history is interesting if you don't get some, you know, some robot up there telling it to you. And I had good teachers. They made it interesting, so I liked it. And it's like reading. You know, I like reading. Okay, look, I like sci-fi. I love sci-fi,
right.
Okay? But I like history almost as much. And you know what? History is almost as interesting as sci-fi. It really is. As a matter of fact, I just watched a thing, you know, and I'm not saying this is historically, 100% historically factual, all right? But I did look into it, and the common, you know, between historians and experts, they say that it was probably about 85-90% accurate, right? And that's pretty good, you know. I'm happy with that. I mean, especially.
Yeah, and there is always another side to the story.
Sure,
but
if there's a television show that's, you know, 85-90% accurate about history, I'm watching that. I like that, you know. And so I watched this series on Netflix. It's a short series. It's like, I don't know, 6-7 episodes. The Roman Empire. And now I read the Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire many, many years ago, and I tell you, I still to this day suggest if you haven't, you should, because you will understand world events much, much better if you read that book. Because the thing is, it's happening again, and it's very clear it's happening again. And Rome's not the only one. Okay, I mean you can go back further or go sideways and find another empire. Same thing. It always ends that way, and that's why I'm saying I'm not so sure we can avoid it, because we are on the same track. We're not making the corrections we would need to make to avoid it. You know, people might say, well, Donald Trump. Well, no, Donald Trump may make things better, but I don't think he is a catalyst to avoiding this clash.
Let's say that. I agree with that. A couple points before I forget with my brain. But number one, yes, everybody should read about the history of the Roman Empire. I am telling you, folks, the Bible tells us that there's never anything new under the sun. Everything, it's in a repetitive process. And you can go read about that in the book of Ecclesiastes. Having said that, history is important. To know where you're at and why things are, you have to know your prior history of things, whether it's prior history of you interview somebody and you want to know the prior history of somebody that you're getting ready to hire, you know. Clearly, you want to know if you're hiring him in a hamburger joint, you don't want him in there spitting on burgers or going off or being rude to the public, so you investigate their prior history. It's the same way with the country. What the left are doing, what the ungodly are doing, the communists, that's the point. That's what they do, is they wipe out your prior history. And that's exactly what's going on across this country. Now, over and over with the Confederate statues and so on and so forth. And as to what you said, Frank, you don't know if we can avoid this. Right, there's no changes being made. All that I believe, and I thoroughly believe this is what I've always believed about Trump, and I said it in the program so many, many times. And then I found out there was prophets that have heard visions from God that have been saying it. Well, I just knew this from reading and studying what's going on. But number one, President Trump, I honestly believe, was given to us by God the Father because we cried out so much during the Obama years. So we got a chance. We got a chance with President Trump to delay things. And I'll explain the delay in a second. But to delay things. Well, we messed up, and if we don't get in there and pray, and we don't, you know, faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith means you get up and move. If you believe that he should be there, not only should you be praying about it, but you should be out there doing and talking about it, spreading it with others. If not, we're going to lose it. So it goes back to this. Even if we reelect Trump, say, inevitably, like Frank said, we have to watch history. Currently, in this United States of America, we go back and forth. We may have a Republican president for a couple years, and then we have a Democrat president for a couple years. The next Democratic president and Congress will try to take us so far over the edge, just like Pelosi says, okay, hey, they're calling it off. Nobody's being civil. Nobody's really paying attention to how America's supposed to be. They are ready to go off the rails to get anything they want, and so you better prepare yourself for it, because inevitably, whether it's in 2 years or 4 years, maybe a little longer, but very doubtful, it's going to happen. These nuts are going to take control, and we're going to have a problem. Back to you, Flint.
Well, and even if the nuts don't take control, if they lose in 2020, you know, what did we see after the 2016? We saw 2 years of these people, you know, chasing down Republican, you know, Congress people, not letting them eat at restaurants, or shooting one at a baseball game. You know, and this is what we've seen out of the Democrats since, you know, Trump won. What happens if he wins again? You think they're going to calm down and then just accept it? No, they're going to get even worse. And, you know, and there's going to come a time somewhere along the line where conservative people are going to say, you know what, enough's enough. And I don't care if the government sits there and if you're going to take it, we're not going to take it. And that's how it's going to go. It's going to happen. You know, these guys are going to, this Antifa or whatever they want to be called these days, they're going to start one of their messes at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And it's going to turn into a big deal. And how that works in America and generally everywhere is people see that on the internet or TV and they go, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this too. And we're going to do this in our neighborhood. And you know, if it happens one place, the danger of it happening everywhere is pretty good. I mean, with the level of communication we have these days, you know, somebody, you know, that happens in L.A., man, 2 seconds later, everybody across the country knows about it.
Well, that's our look at it this way. Technically, that's already happening. When we see, every time that we see one of these leftists go off and bully somebody or pick on somebody because of a Trump hat or so on and so forth, other leftists see it in our instant news media, and so that fires them up. Well, hey, they're doing it. We should be doing it too. So that is already going on. It just hasn't hit that extreme lever.
Well, it hasn't hit the other side. And the reason why, in my opinion, is the fifth. Because Christians are supposed to be Christ-like. Okay? Christ as in Jesus. Jesus is
Amen.
God. God is long-suffering. Okay? So we're supposed to be long-suffering also. And even our Declaration of Independence points out that we are, in fact, long-suffering because it points out the long train of abuses that the king did and the 10 years that they laid on their belly and begged the king to stop kicking them in the teeth and all he did was kick harder and this and that and the other thing. And they make the statement that people are willing to put up with what they can put up with for as long as they can to keep the things they're used to. And that's just how we are. That's how Christians are. They're long-suffering. They'll take a lot. But like the Lord, when enough is enough, you're going to be real sorry. Because that's when the hammer comes down. And I'm not talking about a nail-banging hammer. I'm talking about the sledgehammer comes down.
Right. I agree. I agree. And I won't go into all the different ones, but folks, it has even been prophesied by people that there would be this civil war coming and it would cause us problems with so many other things. In fact, it would be the beginning of the complete downfall of America, prophets or no prophets, I believe if we go to a civil war, it's going to be overtime for America. And at some time, America does have to be over with because of Israel.
Well,
anyway,
and the thing about it, too, is, Dan, that when you say America will be over with, a lot of people are really, oh, my gosh. Well, just keep this in mind, folks. America is a concept, okay? Our nation is nothing more than a concept, and the nation will be over, meaning it won't be the policemen in the world anymore, and the rest of the world will be allowed to just go crazy, okay? And they will go crazy. And that will foment the return of Christ. I mean, if you read the Bible, it's not a nice, sunny, happy day where everybody's just drinking margaritas at the beach and Jesus shows up and says, hey, how's everybody doing? No, it's a bad time, you know?
On that note, you're absolutely right, and we're going to go to a break, and you guys enjoy your margaritas while we're gone.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
They cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. They don't know. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. That was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard's ripe, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon their souls, they don't know. They're soon to lose their souls.
Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." When one sat down to read the scriptures in the synagogue, that was referred to as sitting in Moses' seat. Jesus said to observe what was presented from Scripture, but not to follow after the teachings of men, for they had added their own rules and regulations. He called them hypocrites, saying that they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. The fact that Jesus did come against the teachings of the Pharisees has been misinterpreted by many to mean that the observance of the Sabbath no longer applies to believers. A careful study, however, reveals that he came not against the commandment, but rather against hundreds of interpretive teachings which made it impossible to keep. Yes, the scribes and Pharisees who falsely accused Jesus of breaking the fourth commandment had perverted the true intent of the law to the extent that he called them serpents and vipers, and said that even though they appeared righteous unto men, that within they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Nowhere in the Bible is the fourth commandment made void. It is a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, until heaven and earth pass away. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, today we are having a really interesting program talking with Frank, being, well, Frank, about everything concerning some of the latest breaking news. We'll get right back to that, but I want to talk to you in just a minute, a couple of minutes about the Wichita Mission Church and radio. Number one, folks, hey, listen, I got an idea. People are talking about wanting to help and everything. You know, just for the food portion to feed over 70 people a day, it takes a $100 bill. Easy. Sometimes more. But I'm asking you, if you wish to sponsor a day's food for over 70 people, and that means giving them a good meal, a nutritious meal, plus, that's actually two meals, plus egg sandwiches and so on, coffee, tea, all the trimmings, $100. All you have to do is donate it on you can go online and donate it. That's easy. Okay. If it's for that meal, just say meal, $100 meal. Okay. Or you can just donate to the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Okay. Also, though, what I really need to talk to you is about radio. So many of you folks, you're listening to me right now on radio. What a lot of you don't understand, this is satellite. It's on FM. And, you know, those things cost airtime. This isn't just technically a podcast. The podcast came later. I've had these ever since I've been on radio in 2002. They're called radio archives. You folks and the media now just calls them podcasts. And that's not basically free anyway, because we have to pay for internet, and I have to pay a podcast place to host it every year, so on and so forth. So it costs money for us to deliver you a message. And I know a lot of you like the message because we have an audience that spans the entire world. So, folks, pray about supporting radio. Okay, and beyond that, now here's another thing. Right now, we're in bad need. You know, I don't know if you people out there know computers. Our computers are 8 years old. 8 years old for the two computers I use to do radio. One is totally for Skype and everything that we do radio on, and the other one is for everything else. Those two computers are over 8 years old. They need replaced. In short, closer than that, I have a board over here that could go scratchy any time that really needs to be upgraded, and I need a new one. That alone is $250 for the cheapest one that I found to do all the modern stuff. So we're trying to raise $1,000 to upgrade radio. We've also been playing with being able to just click on so we can, because I know you folks have been wanting to see, especially when Mom and I talk, to be able to see us on YouTube live video. Well, these take a little bit of upgrades. So pray about it. We're trying to raise $1,000. No, you don't have to be the person that pays the whole $1,000. But if you make a donation towards radio and say for office or radio, then that's what it'll go to. And remember, we need radio airtime because it isn't free. And folks, remember, we are the last hope for so many. And all of us, we're all responsible to care for one another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and it really does. Sometimes just a $20 donation will get me back from the Mission Church because I live 60 miles away from there. Or $20 might be some bread that we need or some eggs. $100 will cover a whole meal for these people. Pray about it. We need large print King James Bibles, but remember, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime and an office upgrade, because it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. If you want to get it to us immediately, I really prefer PayPal as a donation source, and I've never had a problem with it over all these years, so pray about it, and it is really secure. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can call and give a donation over the phone, and you can find all that information where? At prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Frank Stefano, and we're talking about breaking news. And I assume you're still with me, Frank.
I am.
Amen. So, actually, what I heard in some of this breaking news, and I think part of it came out yesterday, was I guess it was McCabe that did the thing on 60 Minutes, but basically, it really was an admission to the guilt of what we've been saying all along of a coup to take the President of the United States out. Back to you.
Absolutely. I mean, it was. You talk about collusion. This wasn't collusion. This was a conspiracy between government officials to overthrow the legitimate President of the United States. That's what it was. I mean, you have Rosenstein, which I'm baffled he still has a job. I'm more baffled he's not in jail. He offered to wear a wire. Okay? He, record the president, secretly record the president to use it against him. Yeah, he was going to do that. This is one of the ranking officials in the FBI. It wasn't a joke. He said it several times to several different people, and this is all confirmed. You know, this guy, and he wasn't the only one. McCabe was in on it, and I don't get why McCabe's out there spilling the beans, because he's just as guilty as Rosenstein is.
Actually, I have a theory on that, I think that McCabe, I kind of believe that he's scared, and prayerfully maybe it's because of the new justice, that was appointed today, but let's go with this. Maybe McCabe's getting scared, and by talking about this and saying that, no, it was real, that he may be showing a willingness to spill the beans to save his own bacon.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we hear about a lot of these things closing, and the Senate also said, folks, I think it was yesterday, came straight out and said, the whole committee of the Senate said there was no Russian collusion, period. Back to you.
Well, there is that. You know, I mean, there is that 2.5 years of wasted time and untold millions of dollars that Herr Robert Mueller, the chief criminal, has wasted over this time. And now there's even reports, what is it on Drudge? This is good. It's well worded on Drudge. I'm just gonna get that here and read it right to you, because it's really well worded, and it's from one of the networks, NBC. Here's the headline. NBC: you may be disappointed by Mueller report. And we've seen other stories about, the Mueller report's not going to be everything that you thought it would be. It's, blah, blah, blah. They're doing everything they can to play it down because he's found nothing. The only people he's prosecuted are for financial crimes from over 10 years ago and crimes that were only committed. Okay, these crimes could not have been committed if this investigation had not been happening, meaning they are obstruction of justice and perjury, things like that that would not have happened because, they claim that he lied to the investigators. If there were no investigation, there wouldn't be any perjury or obstruction. So he is manufacturing convictions to look like he's doing something, and he's just, it's like somebody in the, selling stocks and who's just churning, which means, they'll sell you this stock today, and then tomorrow they'll come back and say, hey, man, you know what? You gotta sell that stock and get this stock. And they just keep churning you, keep turning it in, turning it out, because it makes them money every time. And that's what they're doing with this. To me, that's what I see anyway.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you hit something that not a lot of people are pointing out. And there has been a few to say it, but the point is these crimes that they're coming up with are all because, and a lot of it is because a lot of these guys are older guys, and they put them into, 20, 30 hours of interrogation, and they get them to, they forget about something or whatever, and then, you lied to us, so now we have a charge. And then they charge them, just like that one judge did say at that one point. He said, you're not really after these guys. What you're after is try to threaten these guys with huge sentences in order for them to turn on Trump.
Right.
Or as I guess it was Carosi, and he's been on this program a bunch of times over the years, not lately, but a bunch of times. But Carosi, in fact, filed a lawsuit, and that's exactly what he said. Carosi said, they're just trying to get me to pump on Trump.
Yep.
And so, go ahead.
No, that's true. That's exactly what. That's Mueller's way, though. I mean, even as a regular prosecutor, he used to do that. This is his thing, and the perjury trap is his thing. He gets you in there and says, Dan, what time did you have lunch yesterday? Dan says, I don't know, noon. Okay, Well, then they go investigate, and they go get the cameras from, you know, their surveillance place outside of Dan's house that looked in his kitchen window, and they saw Dan eat lunch, but you know what? It was 5 minutes after noon, you liar. It wasn't noon. You're now charged with perjury. Now, hey, you know, perjury carries like a, you know, a bunch of years in jail, so how's about you maybe tell us something about whatever?
Right. Right, and that's exactly the tactic he's been used. And, you know, and you're right about him doing it in the past because he has had a lot of cases overturned because of this very reason.
He's even been pulled in front of the FISA judges, by the FISA judges, for lying to them in their affidavits to get warrants. Not in this case, okay? This is a, I'm talking about prior to Trump. Okay? Pre-Trump.
Right.
When Mueller was the head of the FBI, he got yanked in front of the FISA judges. They didn't ask him to show up. They told him, you're showing up or you're going to jail. Okay? So he had to show up. And they were not pleased because they had gone through a bunch of FBI affidavits and found things that were not true. They lied in order to get warrants. You know, so this is a typical thing, and it's Mueller. Mueller is at the bottom of a lot of this, and Comey was his little protege. So, you know, this is why Comey is such a weasel.
And here's the thing. That's why I wish they'd bring out the records. Let's go back in time a little bit. I do honestly believe that so many of these people are all on board. It boils down to that statement Hillary Clinton made about everybody hanging if Trump got elected. But it is the truth, because if you go back in time and you see about the Russian collusion, the real collusion that was made to sell off our uranium, all of these guys was in on it. Mueller was in on it, but all these guys was in on it. They were all in on it. And so if that's exposed, then they could be held up for prosecution. So their only chance, I believe a lot of all this is just about saving their own skin, because they are afraid and we're afraid that it would all be exposed and their whole scheme would be exposed and they would be taken out. Back to you.
Well, I got good reason to be scared because they're criminals and they're about to get caught. And the thing is, I was reading earlier today, I'm looking for it on my my long list of tabs here that I, you know, gosh, I open way too many things. But I was reading it earlier that there is an investigation going on into Uranium One.
Right.
And they just, the thing I read, I wish I could find it, had some new stuff in it, you know, that's like, oh, wait a minute now, you know, wow. So actually, probably not new stuff, but more in detail, let's put it that way.
You probably got the main person, folks, that's really leading this charge is Judicial Watch.
Yep.
And I think you're talking about a report that came out of Judicial Watch, but I read so much in the last week, you know what I mean? It's hard to always keep that straight.
Back yeah, it is. It is tough to keep things, well, where did I get this, where did I get that, you know? Hey, another, but, you know, the uranium thing is not really a breaking news. It's an ongoing thing, though, and, you know, when they get the goods, man, this is a dirty, bad deal. It was pay to play. Hillary Clinton was directly involved. The Clinton Foundation got $3 million to make that deal go, and they got the records to prove it. So, you know, I mean, all it takes now is a prosecution. That's all.
Right.
They just need to be prosecuted. But here is some breaking news.
Okay.
Court documents reveal that special counsel's office illegally leaked the Stone indictment to CNN. Now, you remember that story where Stone and his wife get arrested at, like, some ungodly hour, 6 a.m., and there's, you know, 30 SWAT guys there to arrest an elderly couple, right? And, you know, and there's CNN all there before they ever showed up, ready to film, right? And everybody's like, look, they had to get tipped off. Oh, no, CNN says, oh, no, that would just be wrong. We're just such good reporters that we've been watching the court, and weird things went on in the court. So we knew to be here at 6 a.m. somehow because weird things went on in the court. Uh-huh. Sure. Well, now court documents are proving now that, no, it was Mueller's team that leaked the indictment to CNN. That is a crime, by the way, folks, okay? They said that, now, CNN claimed at first that, well, it was because they were watching unusual grand jury activity.
Right.
Yeah, sure they were. What kind of unusual anything would make you go, okay, and we better be there by 6? You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I saw a report that they claimed that they'd been outside watching for a very long time because it was going to happen, and that's garbage, too.
Yeah, because you know what the neighbors said?
Yeah.
The neighbors said no. CNN showed up 2 hours before the SWAT teams did.
Ah, so much for that lie, huh?
Unless they, you know, hey, it's all relative. Some people think 2 hours is a very, very long time, Dan.
Yeah, well... They are, you know, look, whenever something like that happens with the leftist news agencies, you know they had to get a leak or something because, you know what, they're too lazy to do actual investigative work, don't you think?
Yep. Now, what they got, okay, and a lot of you might think, well, what's the proof? Here's the proof. So, Stone's lawyer talks to the... DOJ.
Right.
They're the prosecutors. He's the defendant. He says, hey, you know, I want some, CNN. What do they call that? Well, it's where you get documents, right? Where you say, look, I want these documents and those documents for court, right? From the other side.
Right.
And they wanted emails between CNN and the DOJ. So
Discovery.
Yeah, they sent them over there, right? And they got a document, an email, and they look in the metadata, right? And that metadata is just a fancy word for all the information. It tells you when it was sent, where it was sent from, when it was received, all the routers it went through, and all this and that and the other thing. Okay, that's the metadata, right? So they get this email with the metadata on it. They look at it, and they see that the indictment that CNN received, they received, this was the 2 hours, they received, what was it, 2 days. 2 days, that's the two I was thinking of. 2 days before the indictment was released, you know, was released. So it was
right
under seal when CNN got it, and the metadata shows that. You know, because it's got times. It has
right.
times all over it. You know, it has times when it hit this router, time when it hit that router, time when you finally got it, right, and all that. And that right there is a crime, and it's proved. They're screwed.
Right.
And
okay, right.
What I would do if I was Trump, honestly, about this particular thing, just to be mean, okay, because they deserve some mean around now, I would get with my FCC guy and I'd say, listen, you got something in these licenses that go out there that this is supposed to be for the public good and all that stuff? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I want CNN's license, their broadcast license, pulled. And here's why I want it pulled. Because, well, they broke the law. Okay, they're criminals. Okay, they're receiving. They should have reported this immediately when they got it and said, oh, my gosh, we got something we're not supposed to have. But instead, they sent out a film crew because that's why it was sent to them. And somebody, whoever
sure
it came
was.
From in the Mueller thing, needs to go to prison, too. You know, and
that sounds like collusion.
Oh, actually, you know, collusion is not really a crime. Oh, but.
Right.
But
yeah, you're right.
But. Conspiracy is because
sure it is.
Conspiracy is basically colluding with someone else to commit a crime. Then that turns into a conspiracy, okay? Because it's really technically only a conspiracy if you're planning a crime, something illegal. If it's not illegal what you're planning, it's not conspiracy, okay? It may be collusion, and collusion is not a crime because... Well, what if we get together, Dan? Hey, Dan, let's talk about where we want to go out to eat tomorrow. Well, we're colluding. But going
right.
out to eat is not a crime. So there's no, there's nothing. But let's say you and me get together and decide how we're going to go rob the bank tomorrow.
Right.
Well, now, see, that's conspiracy because robbing banks is illegal.
Right. Absolutely. And that's how they bring down so many people. The law is actually this. If you have knowledge of a crime, and I don't care if you're a reporter also, if you have knowledge that a crime is about to be committed or you have evidence of it directly after and you do not say anything, that it makes you, by conspiracy, actually even by RICO, but by conspiracy, that makes you just as guilty of the crime as the person that committed the crime. But in this case, you have two active members. They were both committing a crime. Back to you.
Yeah, and with full knowledge.
Right. You right. Know, that's the point. Full knowledge.
That benefited both of them. Okay, this wasn't somebody who just overheard something and didn't tell anybody. These are two people conspiring to commit a crime that will benefit both of them. CNN gets a scoop, and the Mueller investigation gets to put on a big show and poison the jury pool.
Right.
You know,
right.
So they both get something out of it. This is a true criminal conspiracy. And, hey, nicely, they've got the metadata to prove it.
Right.
Oh, and not to mention that CNN, how many times did they lie about it publicly and say, oh, no, we're just that good?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it goes on and on and on with the left. You know, there's so much. Look, lying is so commonplace with the leftists, and that's why the conservatives, you know, at least I think there's an attempt by most to tell the truth, because they, you know, most conservatives, and I won't say all, of course, but most conservatives, it is because their belief in God the Father, that they believe that they are responsible. They tell a lie and say, well, okay, they've got to answer to God for it. Now, the left are ungodless, and so if you don't catch them, who's going to do anything to you? Surely not God, because they believe there is no God, or their version of God, which is the God of this earth. You know, Satan, that guy with the funny ears. Well, he didn't really have, anyway. But point being is they're not answerable. They're not being held accountable by anybody if they don't get caught, and if they do, they can lie their way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, conservatives, on the other hand, are, you know, most people that are of God, that are truly of God, you know, I can't lie about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie about it to get out of it. I might say I'm not going to answer your question.
Right.
But I'm not going to lie my way out of it, you understand, let alone collude to do something illegal. And that's the difference between the two parties. Back to you. You've got about 2 minutes.
Well, that's true. And I'll tell you what. You know, I read this quote on my show earlier, and it's from Solzhenitsyn, who has to be considered an expert on communism and the ill effects of it. And he said, and I don't have the quote right in front of me here, but he basically said, you know what? If you when a nation loses its belief in God, tyrants forge their chains.
Amen.
And that's what's happening.
I totally agree with that.
You know, I mean, and here's a guy that saw it happen, so, and lived through it. You know, you kind of got to take him seriously. But I want to bring this one story, because this might help the mission.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the headline: food banks burst with food normally exported to China. America's food banks are full to bursting with all the meat and produce that normally would be exported to China but are going to be unsold because of the trade war. We're getting about twice as much food as we normally get. And they say it's the same story at food banks from Oregon to New York. So I got to figure that includes Kansas. So maybe your food banks over there will have even more food than they've ever had, you know, to help out the homeless.
Well, you would think that, but listen to here. See, we're still dealing with the wonderful 501(c)(3) thing that, look, you can get meat. You can go to the food bank, and I don't care if there's a new overstock in it or whatever. I could go to the food bank tomorrow if I was 501(c), and these food banks don't give out meat and stuff, but I can go in there, and I can get 100 pounds of steak for, I think it's about, I don't know, less than 15 cents a pound. And I don't blame them for covering the cost, but the point is the government regulations they put on in order to get rid of it, even after they get it, makes it unusable, and they usually throw a huge amount away. And so, you know, we end up paying cash for everything.
See, that's really sad.
Anyway.
That's really sad. You know what? You know what's, and it's so out of touch. is what it is. It's these people making the rules have never spent an hour homeless on the street. They don't know the first thing about it. Now, the thing is, homeless people, and if they're smart homeless people, they eat out of dumpsters, okay? Now,
right.
Are you going to tell me that what you can pick out of a dumpster is better than the stuff that they got at the food bank? I don't think so. Or the stuff that a restaurant down the street could, if the regulations weren't choking them out from doing it, could just say, look, you know what, we've got all this leftover food every single day. Because
you're
every
right.
restaurant, dude, they could just put it in a, you know, separate tubs, bring it down to the Mission themselves, or have you come and pick it up and you could feed the homeless. But, oh, no, has to be inspected, has to be this, has to be that. Yeah.
And
oh.
then I have to be a 501(c), but we're just a church. Frank, I got to let you go.
All right. Thanks for having
All
me
right.
on.
All right. Be blessed. Folks, really, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for a repented sin. Repent is the key word there. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only way through him, is through the Father. Now, go look up Dimitri Dudeman's prophecies. I strongly suggest you do. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.